Iran's substitute Front Appears leader underlines unity in Iran's upcoming presidential elections. Iran's foreign minister says U.S.-led Afghan presence in Afghanistan creates more drug trafficking. Iran warns defeated countries in Syria against interfering in Iraq. Iran's permanent ambassador to the IAEA says nuclear umbrella is a pretext for West to develop nuclear objectives. And Iraq witnesses another bloody day as many people are killed and wounded. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Tehran's substitute Front Appears leader has stressed the importance of maintaining unity and solidarity in the upcoming presidential elections. Addressing worshippers, Hujjatullah Islam Kazem Siddiqui said, during the past 34 years, all the candidates enjoyed full freedom in their election campaigns. The cleric also noted that all these elections in the past 34 years were based on legality. Deploring the events which happened in 2009 presidential elections, the cleric further noted that any group who intends to create discord in the country is in fact committing treason act against the religion, martyrs, and dignity of the country. The cleric also added that there are red lines in the country's upcoming presidential election and that no one is above the law. Sadiqi also called on the presidential hopefuls to observe ethical values during the election campaigns. Iranian Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi has called the increase in illegal drug trafficking and the growth of terrorism as the causes of foreign troops' presence in Afghanistan. Addressing the third Heart of Asia Foreign Ministerial Conference on Afghanistan in Almaty, Salehi described the immediate pullout of U.S. Troops from the region as the main solution to the current crises. He said those regional countries suffering from foreign military intervention have the ability to restore order themselves. Salehi noted that the U.S.-led military intervention is a fertile breeding ground for the development of organized crimes and other illegal activities in the region. Foreign ministers of the Central Asian countries put their views on Afghan reconciliation at a meeting in Kazakh capital city of Almaty on Friday. Iran's deputy foreign minister for Arab African Affairs has warned the defeated countries in Syria against interfering in Iraq. Hussein Amir Abdullahian said certain countries which have been defeated in Syria are seeking to sow seeds of discord in Iraq. He said these states should think about their own nation's interest instead of following the U.S. and the Zionist regime policies to create instability in the region. He said Iraq is a country with vigilant people and wise leaders who are playing an important role in regional developments in the recent decade. Amir Abdullahian also stressed that Syrian people are now fighting terrorism in their country, and the support of certain countries in sending weapons to foreign-backed rebels reveals the real nature of developments in Syria. The permanent ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency says Iran's nuclear program is a national and ultra-factional issue with a bright future awaiting it. Ali Asghar Soltania said what Iran is looking for in its nuclear program is a legal right. At the same time, the Iranian IAEA representative criticized some countries which use nuclear umbrella to develop their own threatening nuclear objectives.
Those who are using positive security assurances and benefiting from nuclear umbrella are supporting maintaining the reliability of nuclear arsenals by modernizing them, or they are satisfactorily silent on the lack of progress in this regard. It is extremely dangerous that some nuclear weapon states in their nuclear doctrines see the possibility of use of nuclear weapons against non-nuclear weapon states parties to the NPT and review the development of easy-to-use nuclear weapons. The matter of more concern is that threat and dangerous doctrine of use of nuclear weapons against non-nuclear weapon states were officially and repeatedly proclaimed by high-ranking officials.
An Iraq 4 bomb blast set four mosques in different locations in the capital city of Baghdad. The blasts, which took place after Friday prayers, left at least four dead and around 50 others injured. Friday's explosions have risen the death toll from a four-day wave of violence in the country to 195. In another incident, at least seven gunmen died carrying out three separate attacks on security forces south of the northern city of Kirkuk. Meanwhile, Iraqi security forces retook control of the town of Sulaiman Bek in northern Iraq. It came after the gunmen agreed to withdraw from the town under a deal brokered by tribal leaders and the governor. The militants took control of the town on Wednesday evening after day-long clashes with security forces. Attacks on Friday pushed the death toll from 4 days of bloody violence in Iraq to more than 200. The unrest has also wounded more than 300 people. On Thursday, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki called for dialogue to find a way out of the ongoing security deterioration in the country. Maliki warned that Iraq could go through another civil war if security deterioration is not well addressed. He said there will be no winner in the sectarian conflict, and everyone will be a loser. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Tehran substitute Friday prayers leader underlines unity in Iran's upcoming presidential election. Iran's foreign minister says U.S.-led Afghan presence in Afghanistan creates more drug trafficking. Iran warns defeated countries in Syria against interfering in Iraq. Iran's permanent ambassador to the IAEA says nuclear umbrella is a pretext for West to develop nuclear objectives. And Iraq witnesses another bloody day as many people are killed and wounded. Syria says it will allow Russian experts to probe alleged chemical weapons in the country. The remark was made by visiting Syrian Information Minister Umran al-Zubi in Russian capital city of Moscow. Al-Zubi's remarks came a day after the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said a UN team is ready to be deployed to investigate the issue in Syria. However, the Syrian minister said the country's forces had neither chemical nor other weapons of mass destruction. Al-Zubi blamed the U.S. for groundless allegations, saying Washington has falsely claimed that the Syrian government had used chemical weapons in its conflict with the opposition rebels. A Syrian official reiterated that the chemical shelling in Aleppo was done by terrorists based near the Turkish border, and the ammunition could be shipped from Turkey. Meantime, China has stressed its opposition to any military intervention in Syria while condemning the use of chemical weapons as a violation of international law. Addressing reporters, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying said Beijing disapproves of military intervention in any country as well as Syria, as well as position is also consistent and clear. Hua called on all Syrian parties to seek a political solution as the only correct way to resolve the crisis in the country, urging an immediate end to all violence there. She said China is also calling on the international community to make unremitting efforts to produce a political settlement on the issue in a responsible manner. The remarks came in response to Western countries accusing Syria of using chemical weapons and their attempts for a military option in Syria. The Zionist forces have fired tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse around 500 Palestinian villagers on Friday who were marching toward a Jewish settlement outpost in the occupied West Bank. The procession, the largest of its kind for years, followed charges by Palestinians that the Zionist settlers had attacked them twice this week. Around 500,000 settlers have moved to the West Bank and East El Quds since the Zionist regime captured the area in the 1967. Palestinians want the settlements gone from what they see as their future state. Medics treated several Palestinian protesters for gas inhalation and rubber bullet wounds. At least 11 people were killed and over 40 others injured when a bomb blast targeted a campaign rally on Friday night in Pakistan's southern port city of Karachi. The explosion took place when a leader of Awami National Party was pressing the gathering of political workers for his election campaign. According to police, the bomb was planted in a car and detonated with a remote-controlled device. Security forces and rescuers rushed to the site and shifted the injured to the Abbasi Shaheed Hospital, where five of them were brutally in critical condition. The blast was so powerful that it destroyed venue of the gathering and eight vehicles besides it. The blast was the third bomb attack on political gatherings this week in Karachi as the May 11 general elections draws near. In Bangladesh, a total of 304 people are so far known to have died after the 80-story building collapsed in Sawar on Wednesday. Officials said at least 80 people were rescued on Friday, adding that rescue teams found 50 more people alive, hoping to rescue them by tomorrow morning. More than 2,300 people had been rescued alive since the collapse, but many are severely injured. Meanwhile, huge angry crowds of garment workers protested over the tragedy. Police fired tear gas and rubber bullets as protesters blocked roads and attacked factories and buses and districts around Dhaka. Widespread anger has been fueled by revelations that factory bosses forced workers to return to the building on Wednesday, despite cracks appearing in the building the previous day. The incident was reportedly one of the worst building collapses in the country. Manufacturers and gun shops across the U.S. are reporting record sales, with gun enthusiasts worried that tighter weapon laws will lead to a shortage of bullets. One such factory in Missouri, Sierra, produces millions of loaded cartridges and bullets each week, but is still finding it hard to keep up with demand.
We could work 7 days a week and not meet the demands right now. It's just crazy out there. Supply and demand, we just can't keep up with demand.
We make bullet for all kinds of people. There's lots of people that shoot, like I said, and there's good people out there. It's not just...
There are also bad people.
That's right, that's what I'm saying. There's also bad people, but it could be a knife, it could be a bomb, it could be, you know, anything. So you can't look at it that way.
Anytime there's a tragedy like what happened in Newtown, obviously a public outcry. Everybody on both sides of the fence obviously are outraged by those type of things. And sometimes the politicians, in their hurry to capitalize on that, to get a law passed, might not figure it's the perfect law to have that actually makes a difference in keeping that from happening again. They just want to look like they're making a change and a difference to the how the laws are represented in the United States.
Public sector workers from Athens and Thessaloniki demonstrated in the Greek capital on Friday. The move comes as Parliament prepares to vote the latest round of government austerity measures, which include the firing of civil servants. The demonstrators chanted slogans and waved flags as they marched through the city. The Confederation of Civil Servants called for the protests, as on Friday, a bill which foresees the sacking of 15,000 state workers by the end of 2014. Goes to Parliament and will be voted on Sunday. The government's plan is to make the state more productive and less costly and bureaucratic. The Spanish government of Mariano Rajoy announced a new package of economic reforms on Friday. The new package aimed at spurring growth following years of austerity that have resulted in soaring unemployment. The package includes an annual plan to boost employment, fiscal incentives for small and medium-sized companies, measures to help companies go global, and relaxed visa conditions for foreign investors. However, analysts say austerity also remained indispensable, and the government would not make fundamental changes to its economic policies. The reforms came just a day after unemployment in Spain passed the 6 million mark for the first time in history. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI on English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.